Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia DeRozier, and my amazing co-host,
Mariah
and Cross.
Okay, if you're joining us for the first time, you may not know that Mariah and Cross are two of my three amazing children. My other one's a little shy, so she's probably not going to join us on a show anytime soon. And today we have a special guest joining us. I got to tell you, I'm so excited to have Pastor Lisa Miyoshi with us today.
Woo!
She is amazing, and I admire her and look up to her so much, but she's also such a sweet, dear friend. I feel encouraged every time I talk to her.
Same.
And I can't wait to hear her testimony and her insight on our Bible study. Hi, Pastor Lisa.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yay. Hey, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
That's awesome. So I'm so glad she's excited to be here. Now, of course, we'll give you a full introduction on Pastor Lisa and how amazing she is just before her testimony. But we will actually cut to commercial break really quick, because I'm obligated to do that. And then we're going to roll right into our Bible study. We're going to talk about how the difference is you in your eternal destination. So I'm really excited about that. Worked really hard on this particular Bible study. So we're super stoked for you to join us. And we're going to cut to commercial break right now.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Well, welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. Again, this is your host, Felicia, my co-host, Cross. and Mariah are both here.
Hi.
And we've got a special guest, Pastor Lisa Miyoshi. This is Mariah's pastor. So
she's so cool.
I adore her. Like, honestly, I was so thankful that you landed in such an amazing church with such amazing ministers. And, man, she's got such a heart of love. Did you want to introduce her now? We're going to introduce her just before.
I can do it now before any problems come up.
Before any problems come up. Okay, go ahead.
Pastor Lisa Miyoshi serves as the executive pastor for New Hope Las Vegas Christian Fellowship. Both Lisa and her husband, Pastor Kent, planted their church 20 years ago, since relocating from Hawaii. Lisa is the mother of two boys, Lucas and Landon. She loves sharing about Jesus and using the performing arts through sign language dance, singing, and playing the guitar and ukulele. She is, like, absolutely, like, the coolest person ever. I love hanging out with her. She has such a great gift of teaching and encouragement and calling out the greatness in others. And having her just overlooking the church and the people in it is just such an honor, and she's just like super cool, and I fangirl about her all the time. So
awesome.
She's awesome.
So a new thing she needs to put on her list is to properly teach you how to say the word ukulele.
Yes.
I know, I say it wrong too.
She's cringing on the other side. It's not how you say it.
It's not how we say it, people.
Ukulele.
I don't know, how do we say this properly, Pastor Lisa?
Ukulele.
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 Yeah, there you go. There you go.
No, it's not you. It's you.
I understand. I'm sorry. I'm uncultured.
So, Pastor Lisa, we're going to get ready to start our Bible study. Would you like to pray us in?
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for this day, Lord, that you have made, Lord God, and we pray, Father, that hearts would be open to receiving your truth, Lord God, as we talk about the difference is you, Lord God, and we thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross for us so that we can have that abundant life that you desire for each and every one of us. So be center focus in all that we say and do, and bless Felicia as she teaches your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, welcome again. We're going to start out with our scripture. So I'm going to let everybody know our scripture today is Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 33. And we actually did 8:28 last week. So we're just kind of including it in this group. A lot of times I want to read the scripture in context so we get a full idea as to what's being said. And I think that's particularly important with this scripture. Pardon me. So we're going to start out here with Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So, and that's kind of where we're going to stop. And so we're dealing with one of the heavy-hitting type of a topic for the Christian church. When I say Christian church, I'm talking about broadly the Christian church. The premise that we're talking about this week is all are called, few are chosen, and the difference between the two is you. And this is probably one of those statements that some people may draw contention with me on. So we're going to talk about some definitions of some words and where we're coming from when we say that. We want to know a little bit about what does it mean to be called, what does it mean to be chosen, and what does it mean to be foreknown. We're going to tell a couple of stories to kind of give some context to it. And I realized Pastor Lisa and I were talking about this over the phone to some extent, and I thought, oh, this is a great example of what the word foreknown means, okay? And then I realized I don't think either of my children have seen this movie because I'm very particular about what movies play. And it came out when I was a young kid. So let's start with foreknown. What does it mean to be foreknown? Well, I thought back to an old movie series called Back to the Future.
Yes.
Okay, you have seen it. Have you seen it? Probably not. Poor Cross hasn't seen it yet because there's a lot of curse words in it. So I probably wouldn't have let him see it yet.
Honestly, I think I've only saw, like, the third one, the one where he's, like, in the cowboy
scene.
I've seen it. I think a couple weeks ago was actually the exact day that in Back to the Future they traveled.
Right, something like
2023.
That.
Where's your hoverboard?
I know. Where is my hoverboard? Okay, so here's...
Get together, Earth.
So here's the context. Get it together, Earth. So here's the context here, is that... they travel to a future date. Now, there's a whole storyline, and they travel back and forth through time in this story. But at one point, they travel to a future date, and the primary antagonist's name is Biff. And Biff steals a book that tells the results of all the sporting events for, like, the last 100 years. And because he's in a future date, when he travels back home, he now has the winners and losers of every sporting event from the Super Bowl to horse races to everything, and he starts to bet on all of the winning teams. And he makes himself very wealthy. Okay.
Because he bet on the teams that he knew would win.
Because he knew they would win.
That's
okay.
Smart. Yeah.
You know, okay, smart, criminal, whatever, okay? Like, and he's a real bad guy, so he uses his wealth really poorly, okay? So I'm not endorsing this, people, if we ever time travel to the future. Not how we should live life. But
then again, really smart.
But here's what the point was, did Biff cause all those teams, horses, players to win those sporting events? Or did he just foreknow who was going to?
Or no, because mm-hmm. he didn't have any impact on the team itself.
Okay, so he wasn't actually moving those players into places. He wasn't actually making it. So, okay, look, I live in Las Vegas, okay? For a long time, we didn't have sporting teams because everybody was concerned that someone would fix the competition, would fix the fight or the race or whatever and tell someone to throw it in order to be able to have the casino make big wins, right? Okay, so this wasn't fixing the race, he just foreknew who was going to win. And that's kind of that same image that I want to pull along with God foreknowing. It kind of harkens to God not being bound by time in the same way that we are, and knowing ahead of time, because he exists outside of time, who is going to be saved and who isn't. Do you see what I'm saying? And I think that that's important when we get to this next term, which is being chosen. This pops up in Romans 8:33, and it's actually sometimes translated as elect. And it's very easy to see why when you look at the Greek root. The Greek root is, what is it, eklektos, which is where we, eklektos. Eklekt, yes, but it's actually where we get our English word for elect, right? Mm-hmm. But if we think about it, The definition of this word chosen in Greek really means to receive unmerited favor from God based on someone else's actions. Can we think of a time where chosen is applied that way throughout the Bible?
Well, every hero in the book, right?
Well, yes, but also the chosen nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so they have this special distinction of being chosen, right? But we understand with the nation of Israel that there's kind of a give and take of this. They're chosen, but they're chosen because of the faith response of Abraham. Okay? So the reason why God chose Abraham, I often wonder, how many people did God try to tap on the shoulder before he tapped Abraham? Or did he just, because of his foreknowledge, know Abraham was the guy that was going to respond?
Also, in the Bible, in the book of 1 Samuel, they asked for a king. And Samuel warns them. He's like, a king is not what you want. Stick to the judges. And they're like, no, we want a king. And then he brings forth Saul, but he was a good king at times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mostly at the start of his reign.
Sure.
But the book highlights that he will screw up. Like,
right.
He's not the chosen king that they want.
And he just keeps messing up and messing up and messing up. And then we come to David.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems like the chosen king.
Mm-hmm.
But he also messes up and messes up and messes up.
Well, and the Bible is really clear about people having flaws. I think Lisa maybe wanted to say something, so I'm going to roll back a minute. Were you gonna hop in there?
No, you guys are doing good. I'm enjoying your talk.
Okay. So there's a couple points that the Bible broadly makes about humankind. Number one, we're very flawed, right? And number two is that there is this aspect of being chosen, but God's chosen, like his favor follows those who follow him in faith. So there's this faith and chosen dynamic that happens. And as it says in the definition, being chosen means receiving this unmerited favor because of someone else's faith action. So for the nation of Israel, we're going to draw that parallel here. The faith action comes from Abraham. God promised Abraham and Sarah that he would bless their children and keeping his promises to 1,000 generations. This principle is still at work today, and it's available to us. And I wanted to show you guys this by turning to Romans 9, 6 through 8. I have a lot in Romans today, and all my bookmarks are kind of sticking together. So we'll see how that goes. Let's see. It's the previous page. Oh, there we go. Okay. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but though through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise that are counted as offspring. In other words, we become children of Abraham not necessarily because of the fact that we are physical offspring of Abraham, but we're spiritual offspring of Abraham because we share his faith in God and we trust God for everything. Okay? These are some of the blessings that can come to those people who are chosen in today's context of being part of that chosen group of people. Maybe you grow up in a Christian family. Maybe you get the opportunity to grow up attending a Christian church. Maybe you live in a society that's friendly to Christians. These chosen people receive a special blessing of knowing God culturally. They've grown up with some understanding of God's provision. Maybe they've experienced God's care. They have background of being taught God's truth. God's love. God loves all of the world equally. He wants to see everybody come to him, but there's this great advantage to being brought up in a Christian home or culture. This is not the same as being saved. So just because you're chosen doesn't mean ultimately that you're saved. Okay? Now, at this point, we're going to talk about a wedding feast. And I'm wondering, Mariah, would you like to read scripture out loud?
Okay.
We're going to look for Luke 14. And I may actually have it up for you really quick over here, too. 15 through 24, we're going to talk about the parable of the great banquet, okay?
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied with this story, "A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, 'Come, the banquet is ready.' But they all began making excuses. One said, 'I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, 'Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' After the servant had done this, he reported, 'There is still room for more.' So his master said, 'Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge everyone you know to come to the house, and the house will be filled. For none of those I first invite will get even the smallest taste of my banquet.'"
Okay. So in this context, this is a parable of Jesus, right? So Jesus is speaking, and he's trying to teach us something about the kingdom of heaven. And so there's the first people who were called to the banquet. Now, Just to be clear, the word called in both this parable and also in Romans 8:30 that we're talking about is the word kaleho. And it means just what you think it means. It means to summon. So as a mom, sometimes I'm sitting in the living room and I don't want to move and go and get you. So I'll be like, kids, Cross, Mariah, Caitlin, right? And that's kind of what it means here, okay? It's to summon, okay, to call someone forward.
Except my dad, he really needs to work on his I want you voice and I'm angry at you voice because they sound very similar. And I come running and I'm like, and he's like, can you do the dishes? I'm like, sure.
They hear dad bucking and they have a heart attack, right? Oh, no, what do I do? So... That was truth right there, I'm sure. So we're thinking back to this wedding banquet. The first people that the king calls, who are those?
His friends.
His friends, the chosen people.
And they said no.
And they said no. They had every advantage because they knew the king personally, right? They were invited. But because of the familiarity they have with the king, they ignore him, they scorn him, rather than responding to his call. It's actually a really sad circumstance, right? Still, the king wants his wedding filled, so he sends the servants to the streets to call in the crippled, the lame, the poor, and the blind. These are the outcasts among the chosen people. Okay, so they're still the chosen people, but they're the folks that, you know, don't normally get to roll with the king.
Right.
Okay. And then still wanting more guests, the king sends his servants out to the highways and the hedges. Those on the highways are not people who are within the nation of Israel.
They're Gentiles.
I was about to say, that's what they call the Gentiles, right? That's us. Okay.
Hi.
I'm not Israeli. Okay. And so I have the privilege of being invited because the hall wasn't full and God wants a full house, right? And the hedges kind of refers to the poor amongst the Gentiles, like the poorest of the poor. He's sending his invitation out to everyone. He calls all. Okay. But the people who respond to the call in faith are the ones who get into the wedding.
That didn't go very well.
It just doesn't necessarily go over very well. But, you know, here's the thing is that when I first started doing this broadcast, I promised to preach through every book of the Bible or every part of this book of the Bible of Romans. And I made a determination not to skip. So this is a hard verse that we're doing, but we're doing it. You know.
Roll your toes in, folks.
Right. Roll your toes in, goodness.
But the story points to the fact that just because you may be Israelite does not mean that you are that you will immediately respond to the call of God or even respond at all.
Right. And so it has to do with realigning what God says, and we're actually going to talk about this a little bit more about how His promise follows those who are born out of faith. And so this is not actually a new concept that we Christians have come up with. This is actually embedded in the entire story of the nation of Israel, and I'll show you where. Okay, so who responds to God's call? That's the question. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:22 through 31. Do you have that for us?
It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven. And it's foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Ooh, that's good. Remember the dear brothers and sisters that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considered foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scripture says, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord.
So much of that could preach. Yeah, so it's this whole, like, almost like what comes first, the chicken or the egg thing. Those who say yes to God, some in the gospel, they come to him on his terms. Now, there's another account for the wedding feast in Matthew, and in Matthew's account, there's a guy who shows up to the wedding, but he doesn't have any wedding clothes, okay? He shows up, but he's not submitted to the king's will.
Right.
Okay? And so those people that God's choosing, those are the people who are submitted to God's will, those people who believe in God by faith. And again, we're going to just pop down here in just a second. We'll demonstrate this a little bit through the history of the nation of Israel, which we're all familiar with, so that, you know, I'm not just making it up. You also see in Romans 8:33 that many things are in the kingdom of heaven. They kind of feel like they're turned on their head. It's not the way that we humans understand things, but God has a different understanding. He's trying to teach us. Paul doesn't ask who will bring a charge against God's elect, but he applies this term chosen that's previously reserved for the children of Israel. He starts applying it to the new church. We become chosen or elect by our faith response to Jesus, just like Abraham did. And this is when we're talking about us being foreknown but not favorite. There's this concept out there that some people are the ones that God decided he liked the best and he was going to keep for heaven, and others are not.
That makes me so mad. It's like, if God didn't, if you were right in that regard, why bother making you at all?
So
clearly I'm the favorite, so then why does he bother with you?
Nice. So there are...
That's mean, but, like, still.
There are a ton of theological issues that you have to wrestle with at this point, okay? But let's talk about how, because on the surface, this verse can seem a little confusing. What does it mean that God foreknows some and predestines and calls them? Okay, these are separate items here, okay? Some will say that God chooses or elects some people to save and others not to be. But just as in the past, God's children come to him by choice and faith. Remember how God chose who would be the chosen people in Israel. It seldom went to the ones that the world would select, which is the firstborn. Isn't that how it usually works? Like the firstborn gets the inheritance?
I get everything crossed.
I mean, not necessarily. Maybe he's the son of the prophet.
No.
Okay, so the promise is given to Abraham, but it doesn't pass to his eldest son, Ishmael. Okay? It passes to Isaac because of his faith in the promise. Nor does it pass to Esau, but it passes instead to Jacob, who is the second born of the twins.
Well, actually, it might not have passed to Ishmael because he and his mom ran off to the desert to start a tribe.
There's a whole reason it didn't pass to Ishmael, but the real reason was because the promise that God gave was not through Hagar, the servant, but through Sarah, his wife. So there's a whole, like, dialogue that could be had about how slavery is not okay and that it's not okay to take advantage of someone in your household as a member that way, that God's giving throughout this entire thing. But if we got into that, we'd run out of time. Okay? But but that's really, that's
but
where
Israel did start a tribe in
the
desert.
He did. So, and he was still blessed, okay? But he wasn't the child of the promise, okay? And he wasn't part of the chosen nation. So let's look a little bit at Esau and Jacob, okay? They're twins, right? But remember, the difference between Esau and Jacob, neither one of them are very nice people, okay? Jacob is pretty deceptive, okay? They both have some issues. But the difference between the two, not so great choices, was Esau, how did he feel about the promise and about the favor of God and about being that firstborn? Not only could he care less about it, right? He raffles it off for a bowl of soup one time, right?
Yep. That might have been some good soup.
But the Bible actually says that he kind of scorns it. He looks unfavorably upon it. And what about Jacob? Jacob chases it. He desires it. He covets it.
But Esau's like, yeah, I don't really care about this. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had it my whole life. Nothing's going to change that.
So which one of them was pursuing God by faith? Jacob. So the promise follows the child of faith. Does that make sense? Even if the child of faith is not necessarily a nice human being. Neither one of them were very nice. Same thing with Reuben. So Jacob's children, Reuben's the oldest, but instead it goes to Judah, who was fourth in line. Okay? So we see over and over again that the promise passes to those who earnestly desire God's blessing to obtain it by faith. They become God's chosen people. Because God knows all things. He's not bound by time. He knows in advance, and here are some of the things that he already knew about his church. I'm going to kind of roll because we're, again, running short on time. Okay? So I'm just going to give you these scripture references, but we're not necessarily going to read them right now. The Gentiles would come in large numbers. That's the first thing he knew, and you'll find that in Romans 9, 24 through 26. Only a remnant of Jews would believe, Romans 9, 27 through 29. God would harden the hearts of those who refused him, making room for others. That's in Romans 9, 17.
And Exodus.
And Exodus, yes. That's true. So, yes, and it's really important that I'm using a lot of stuff from Romans. It's really important to know that I'm not just making this up because I'm a Christian and we have new rules for our church. You can find all these same parallels in the Old Testament stories. So I thank you for bringing that up, Cross. That's a really good point. And he also knew that someday the resistance would be reversed and a whole generation would come to believe. And you'll find that in Romans 11, 25 through 31.
And Revelation,
yes. Likewise, God knows who will receive him and who will refuse him. So God knows who will come to him, and he has a great plan for them. He plans to transform us into the image of Christ. Okay, can you pull up Romans 12, 2, where it talks just a little further about that? Because basically what we're saying is that whole predestination thing is the plan he has for those that he knows will come to Christ. So he knows you're coming to Christ. There's free will involved. We're coming to him through faith, and then he plans to transform us into the image of Christ. Go ahead.
Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
Right. So that, and that's from the New Living Translation.
Yes.
While we're being transformed to think and be more Christ-like, he summons or calls us, hey guys, come follow me, right? We're justified through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, and then when we're resurrected, we will be glorified to be Christ-like in form as well. And if the difference is me, the big question is, what is there left for me to do? Let's be clear that God has already done everything to provide for the redemption of this world. All that's left for me to do is to accept his offer on his terms. And I think that we were talking, Pastor Lisa, on the phone a little bit about two different examples. One was if I gave my child a gift, and it was something they really needed and they really had use for, and they accepted the gift in their hands, but they refused to open the gift, it has no life-changing power for them. But we were also talking about a marriage proposal. It was just apropos because it's just been Valentine's Day yesterday, right?
Happy Valentine's.
I have the most amazing husband.
Happy Single Awareness Day.
Happy Single Awareness Day for Cross. You're too young not to be single, so it's okay. So I have the most amazing husband, and at one point he proposed to me. And he had done everything. He had gotten a ring, and he was making plans to take me to be his wife. He had done everything to prepare this, but my life was transformed because I accept his proposal. And that's what has made the difference. So the unopened gift is never received. The unaccepted proposal is never acted upon. And so God has provided the gift for the world, and it is our job to open it and receive it by faith. So that's it for the Bible study for today. Yay! And now
awesome. Yay.
We're going to head to commercial break from the amazing Pastor Lisa.
Yay!
All the fabulousness that she has to share with us.
She's so cool.
But I have to cut to commercial break, so we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Do you buy from Amazon? If you do, do you use Amazon Smile? Amazon Smile is a program Jeff Bezos set up to donate to to 501c3 nonprofits. If you go to smile.amazon.com and designate Barefoot as Legal as your nonprofit, Jeff Bezos donates 0.5% of your purchase price to our charity. We need your support to fund our operations and promote the Barefoot lifestyle. It does not cost you anything. Please consider helping us out. Go to smile.amazon.com and add Barefoot is Legal as your favorite nonprofit and help us fight for freedom. Thank you.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
Hey, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
And welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. If you're just joining us, I am your host, Felicia DeRozier, my amazing co-host,
Mariah,
and Cross, and Pongo.
And yes, the dog is here today. We are joined today by a very special guest for the dog. Hopefully we won't hear him. We don't want to hear from him today. But he does make everything a little happier. We're joined here with our special guest, Miss Pastor Lisa Miyoshi. She is amazing, and I just am so excited to hear a little bit more about what God has done in your life. We'd love to hear more about your testimony, the things that he's done. I know he's done some miraculous things, so I don't want to guide that. I'm going to let you and the Holy Spirit discuss what you're going to talk about. Please tell us a little bit about what God's done for you.
Amen. Well, I'm blessed to have the opportunity to join you folks today. So I have a question to ask. Do you believe that God has a purpose and a plan for your life? I believe that
I do.
It's clearly stated in the Word of God. In fact, Jeremiah 29:11 says, God said this word, these words. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And that's a promise that we can stand on, that God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. And the journey as we go through life is to find that purpose, but God clearly directs us in his word and how we can live that fullness of life and find that plan and purpose he has. So I want to share my my testimony with you. I've been serving the Lord for going on 39 years. Yeah, I know I've been serving God for a long time. I came to Christ when I was 18. But let me go back a bit. When I came into this world and my family, well, my testimony is a tribute to God's love for me, and it's a powerful testimony. Well, my parents, my mom and dad, so I grew up, first of all, in Hawaii. I was born and raised in Hawaii on the island of Oahu. So my mom and dad, they met. My mom is pure Japanese. My father is pure Filipino. So they got married, and they had my siblings, three children, my older brother, Brent, and my older two sisters, Donna and Cheryl. And they've been they were married for about 10 years. What's sad to say, they decided to get a divorce. Their marriage was not working out well. And so my mom actually filed for a divorce. But to a turn of events, my father wanted to reconcile with my mom, even though they were divorced. And so this led way for me to be born. I can just imagine God in heaven with all his angels saying, okay, angels, we got to huddle up together. Because Lisa was supposed to be born in this family. And because of decisions that this family made, we need to set a plan. And so I believe God moved on my father's heart, right? God, you moved on my father's heart to want to reconcile with my mom. And lo and behold, I was born. Ta-da. And so, right? Ta-da. And so I was born and came into this world. And so that's why I believe that God really chose me to come into this world. He had a plan and purpose for my life. And, you know, even though, you know, we as humans, we make wrong choices and decisions. And we see that throughout the Bible. God always has a plan B. And so his plan B was to get me into this world. And so I was born. And so God made a way. That's an amazing thing. But sadly, after I was born, about 6 months after being born, my father's family, they owned a pool hall in Hawaii. And he went to work that evening, and he was shot and killed while working at the pool hall. So he died. And so it was very traumatic for all of us. And now my mom was a single parent now, raising four children by herself. And so with that affecting us financially, with my father no longer being here, we had to move and live in a housing complex that can kind of be compared to living in the Bronx in New York. It was low-income housing. It was called Kuhio Park Terrace, and people from Hawaii, they know it well. It's called KPT. So we lived there for 13 years in a low-income housing. Not the best place to raise your children, but that's all we could afford. But God had a plan, and so growing up, we did not go to church. My mom was, she grew up in a Buddhist home, but she did not follow that faith. My father grew up Catholic, but did not really follow the faith. So we didn't go to church growing up. But my mom would say would tell us at night before we sleep, she said, oh, why don't you say your prayers? And so we would say the prayer of the Lord's Prayer. We pray that every night. Interesting, right? We didn't go to church and all that. But I believe my mom had a faith. So fast forward, at age 18, the Lord brought people into my life, friends in high school that shared Christ with me, and I came to know the Lord at 18 years old. And so up to that point, though, as a child growing up, I always felt like I was a mistake. Like an oops baby. He wasn't supposed to be born. Someone told me, oh, you're illegitimate. You weren't supposed to be born. And what was sad, made it worse, was I got my birth certificate, And on my birth certificate, my father was not listed on the birth certificate, just my mom, because they were divorced. Mm-hmm. And sad to say, my father did not receive me as his own. He just denied that I was his child. So just a lot of rejection. But, you know, coming to Christ, and now that I look back, back then I felt very rejected and, you know, felt like I was a mistake and all that. But since coming to Christ, God changed my perspective. And so, you know, recently I looked at my birth certificate and the Lord said, yeah, you can see that there is no name under the father. But he said, look closely, because under that is your father, God. He is the father to the fatherless, amen. And so I said, Lord, yes, my, as soon as my earthly father left this earth, you came in and you became my father. And really, he has covered me and protected me all my life, provided for us. We were able to move out of that low-income housing and eventually buy our own house as a family. Isn't that amazing how God turned that around and provided for our family? And the best part of it all, we all came to know the Lord Jesus. First, my older sister came to know Christ, and then myself and all my siblings, and then my mom accepted Jesus Christ in her heart. And so it's a beautiful story of redemption and restoration and how God turned it around. And truly, he was a father to all of us, a father to the fatherless. So I just want to encourage you to, so that you know that you are not a mistake. However you came into this world, whatever words that were spoken against you, know that God speaks life unto you. In fact, I want to read this scripture in John 15:16, and this is Jesus speaking, and he said this, he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. So God is the one who's relentlessly pursuing us. He chooses us. The Bible says before the foundations of the world. And so know that God loves us and he has an amazing plan for us. And I love the scripture in Psalms 139. I'll read it in verse 13, starting in verse 13. And God said this, formed my inner parts, God. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. See, God sees us even when we're in our mother's womb. And in your book were written, every one of them, so we are predestined for great things, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. So God, before the foundations of the earth, planned us. He chose us. And he, even when we are in the mother's womb, doesn't matter how we got to our mother's womb. Like for me, you know, I wasn't planned.
Right.
But that's okay. God planned me before the foundations of the earth, the world, and he intricately formed me, my temperament, my personality, my calling, my giftings. And he said, in his book were written every one of them. So he has my life planned out. Now, there's a catch to this, that we have to make sure that we are choosing, making the right choices in our life and choosing to serve the Lord and to accept Jesus Christ in our hearts. And once we do that, we say yes to Jesus, accept Christ in our hearts, then the plan of God can begin, and he has great and mighty things that he wants to reveal to us and use us mightily. So the plan of God awaits for each and every one of us. You know, God is no respecter of persons. He loves each and every one of us. And the Bible says he wants all to come to salvation, all come.
Mm-hmm.
So he's inviting, like Felicia said, he invites all of us to that banquet table, you know, all of us to come. We just need to say yes, Lord, and to accept him by faith. So that's the question. Will you answer the call of God as he knocks on the door of your heart? Revelations 3:20, Jesus said these words. He said, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in It's a promise from God that he stands and knocks on the door of your heart, and he waits for you to come and say, yes, Lord, I need you. I can't live this life without you. I'm desperate for you, God. I live my life on my own and, you know, made so much mistakes, and I sinned against you, Lord. But I come and ask you to come into my heart and make you Lord and Savior. And God says, I'll come in, and I will come in and do a great and mighty work in into your heart. And so God is waiting. Will you answer the call of God for your life? Because he has an amazing, awesome plan for you. Guys, the Bible says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love us. And so God has an amazing plan, and I'm a living testament to that. You know how I started off in my life. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. The Lord pursued me, brought Christians my way to pray for me, to share Christ. And the Lord saved me in a miraculous, powerful way. Because I remember before coming to Christ, I graduated high school, and I was getting involved in things of the world and drinking and partying. And I also broke up with my boyfriend at the time, and my life was on a low, you know. I was really at the end of my rope. And I remember I was at a house party. I walked outside, and I looked out into the sky, and I said, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. I'm just so lost, and I need purpose in my life. I'm going to go to college soon, and just show me if you are a real God, and show me, you know, I need your presence. I need your love. And right after that prayer, probably in about a couple months down the line, my friend invited me to her church, and they were having a youth camp that summer. I attended that camp, and that's when I accepted Jesus Christ in my heart. And so God, he heard my prayer. He answered it. He came into my heart, and my life was changed. I mean, I was on fire for the Lord. I was sharing Christ with all my friends and my family, especially my mom. She didn't know the Lord at that time. And just prayed for them, because I said, God, what you did in my life, I don't want to keep that, you know, this amazing gift of salvation. I want to share it with the world. And, you know, and then it was interesting, right around that time, about a year after I came to Christ, the Lord spoke to me. He said, Lisa, you're called to be a pastor's wife. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. So I kept that in my heart, and I said, Lord, okay, then you have that amazing husband for me. He's going to have that same call of God as a pastor. And so I kept that in my heart and serving him, just living my single life for him. And God eventually had me meet my husband, Kent Miyoshi, probably about 10 years thereafter, after I came to Christ. And, you know, we got saved, and he became a youth pastor after that in Hawaii. And then we felt the call to go to Las Vegas to start, to plant New Hope Las Vegas Church. So we are now in Vegas. And this year we're celebrating our 20th year of doing ministry in Las Vegas. Wow, what an amazing call and plan and purpose that was unveiled before us. And so we're so humbled and thankful to the Lord for using us here in Vegas. But the story's not done yet. There's much more adventure and much more people to share Christ with, much more healing and deliverance, much more salvation to come. And so it's an honor and privilege to be in Vegas sharing Christ. And we're part of the Four Square Church denomination. And so we get to minister out to people all over the world, share Christ. We send missionaries out to all over the world. In fact, this year we're going to go to Thailand. So we have a worldwide ministry of sharing Christ with people. But you see, it all started when I was 18 and I said yes to Jesus, and that plan was unveiled to me. And so if you do not know the Lord, the plan of God awaits for you, and Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. Can you hear him calling you now? He waits because he loves you so much. He doesn't want any to perish, but he wants all to come to know you, people. He wants all to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so I just feel the need to pray for those that are listening right now. And even for those who have been a Christian for a while and Maybe you feel like, oh, I don't know what God's plan is for me, and I just need guidance and direction. I just want to pray for you as well. So, Father, I thank you for those listening. Father, I pray, God, that this testimony has touched hearts, Lord God, that you planted seeds of faith for those who do not know you, Lord God, that you are calling them right now. Jesus, you are calling each and every one to come to you, Lord, and you're knocking on the door of their heart, that you love them so much, and that they would just respond to this call and say yes to you, Jesus, that they would receive you in their hearts as Lord and Savior. And so I pray, God, that they would say yes and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I confess it to you. Come into my heart. I make you Lord and Savior. And the Bible says when you make this eternal decision, the heaven rejoices and your name is now written in the book of life. Isn't that beautiful? So that you will spend eternity with the Father, God. Amen. And for those who are Christians and maybe you've lost your way or, you know, just got distracted, and with all that's going on in the world, God is also calling you back to a relationship with him. If you stop going to church, and I encourage you to find a good local church that preaches the word, that you can get plugged in and involved. And if you are searching for purpose and God's plan for your life, it's just a prayer away. Just call out on the Lord. Remember in Jeremiah 20:11, he says, God says he knows the plans and purposes for you. And so the answer is found in Jesus. You just need to call out on the Lord, and he's going to reveal to you his great and mighty plan. So thank you, Lord, for those that know you and that are listening to this broadcast, Lord Jesus, that they would cry out to you, Lord God, as I did when I was 18. I cried out to God, and I said, Lord, show yourself a real and powerful God to me, Lord God. Show me that you are here for me, and show me your plan and purpose. And so I pray for those listening, those who are believers, that you strengthen them, Lord God, if they are discouraged and feel far away from you, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just comfort them, strengthen them, Lord. You said the righteous will not be forsaken, Father God. No matter what you've done, just confess your sins. He will forgive you, and that you can be in right standing with the Lord. And so I thank you so much, Father, for touching those that are listening today, Father God. You love them, Lord God. You said that your plans are so powerful and mighty, Lord. Your thoughts are not their thoughts. Your ways are higher than their ways, Father God. And God is ready to blow you away. We're calling this year, our church, the Barakoth year, the year of the Lord's blessing. And so get ready to receive God's amazing blessing. It's going to be poured out on you as you just by faith receive it right now. Just say, Lord, I receive your blessings for my life. I receive it, and I want to serve you, Lord, and be obedient to the call that you have for me. So I thank you to bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You know, it dawns on me when you were talking about your birth certificate, and you said that when you looked at it and you looked deeper into it, that God is the father to the fatherless. So I think it's really apropos that you went into the family business.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing my father's business. Oh, that's so powerful.
As it,
oh,
yes.
My gosh.
I love that God makes the
Hi, what was that?
I said, I love that God just makes those connections for
us. And Ken would always tease me, because when we're dating, he said, oh, if your father was here, I would ask him for your hand in marriage. Now I have to go to God, because he just,
right?
I need to ask him. I said, ooh, that's a tough one, you know? And so we laughed at that. But he said, I have to go through so much challenges and trials to marry you. Because I said, because God. He has some high standards for my husband. So it's been
indeed
a blessing. Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Praise
well, that's a powerful testimony. I really like, I love hearing everything that you say, but such wisdom that God's given you over the time to be able to see the different trials and tribulations and challenges that you faced and how the Lord has turned it all around for the good, which is the first verse that we started today's teaching on, but it was the verse that we taught on last week, too, that
yes,
through it all,
yes,
he had his hand on you. There's such intentionality that God had with your life, and I think that it's so powerful that, you know, the lie that the enemy could have seeded in your life, of course, was that whole, like, mistake, as you said before, but that there was
right,
no oopsies involved. God was so intentional,
amen,
with everything that he's done for you, and he's pleased and proud of you. And I know we all are too, but just powerful what God's done. Like, you are
mm-hmm,
absolutely a rock star here in Vegas. And I keep trying to, I'm trying to start a trend here, Pastor Lisa, that I know Las Vegas is worldwide as Sin City. But
mm-hmm,
I figure where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So I really feel like
yes,
Las Vegas is great. And God brought you in to bring that blessing and that grace to us. And we're so thankful for it.
Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Shine our light, you know, to this. Not compared to any of those neon lights. No, this light is eternal and everlasting. It's Jesus.
I was going to say, I've grown up in a of neon lights, but the light of God is so much brighter
and better.
And brighter.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You know,
yeah.
We're all thankful.
Thank you, Lord.
I think at this point we'll just dip out and take that last commercial break, and then we'll come back with some Q&A for everybody. Is that okay?
Sounds good.
All right, so we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Bye. Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marti.com carries high quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marti.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marti.com.
Hey, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
All right, and welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. We are getting ready for our question and answer part of our show. So let me give out that guest call-in number. You can feel free to call in. We also have a chat room open and available. So if you're listening online, you can chat. You can post your question in the chat, and we'll get to it. The guest call-in number is 319-527-6208. That number, again, is 319-527-6208. When it prompts you, do press the number 1. And that'll raise your hand up on my switchboard, and that lets me know that you want to talk and that you don't want to just listen in on us.
And you would have thought that I would have memorized the number now, by
right.
now.
You know what? I don't have any of the numbers memorized, and I've done this for, like, half a year at least. So, so we do have a question that came in from one of our friends via text. And so the question is, what does perfection look like? Can perfection look like when Jesus heals the brokenhearted, since he's perfect? This is not to say that we're perfect, but he's perfect. So when Jesus heals the brokenhearted, does it heal perfectly, I think, is really the question. And she can text in and let us know if I'm understanding that question correctly. Does it heal perfectly when Jesus heals the brokenhearted? So I'm gonna throw out there that I haven't spent a whole lot of time thinking about and pondering and praying about this question. But what I can say is that we're in the process of being perfected, but my understanding is that we're perfected in heaven. And so when we're brokenhearted, God does heal it and he does mend it. He does a great job. Like, I've gone through some really hard things that God has healed, and that in that process, he's made me a much better person and much more in the character of Jesus through that process. But I wouldn't say that any part of my life is perfected at this point. And it's not because Jesus's healing touch wasn't perfect for me, but that I still live in flesh that's corrupted by sin. And so I will still go back to, the Bible refers to how a dog will return to its vomit. And that's parallel to how we will return to our sinful behaviors and thoughts. And so, for example,
that's a really gross understanding of that.
I mean, it's pretty accurate, though. Like, let me be honest. Like, when I've been hateful or unforgiving of someone, even if they did something really bad to me, it's really gross and disgusting. And I do tend to go back and try to pick that up every once in a while, and I have to go and lay it back at the altar and give it back to Jesus because of the fact that I am sometimes that gross and disgusting dog that will come back and try to lick up the vomit, you know, and go back to where God has healed me previously. So are we healed in perfection? God is perfect. I am not yet perfect. I'm being sanctified, which is that step-by-step process towards that glorification that will eventually be, but that's not until we are resurrected and brought to heaven in the same sort of form that Jesus has. Now, that was my answer on that. Perhaps Pastor Lisa has a better one.
I agree with you. I agree. Well, the Bible says, Psalms 147, verse 3 says, God heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds. So he is the healer, Jehovah Rapha, right, the God who heals. So we're all in the process of being healed and restored. But that's what God does. That's who he is. He is the mighty healer. How I like to encourage people, look at what Jesus went through on the cross, right? He took on our sins. Mm-hmm. And what happened? Yes, he died. But the Bible says he resurrected from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And so for us, we can go through all this bruising and battering and all of this wounds, you know, to receive. But God is the one to heal us and to resurrect us. And I like the scripture, Romans 6, 10, 11. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And so, like I tell people, yeah, maybe you feel like, oh, you know, you're brokenhearted. You've gone through all this kind of like death experiences where everything is just broken. But God is a God of resurrection, and he will resurrect you. He will restore you. And he is perfecting us day by day. But we won't be fully perfected until we go to heaven. But that's
right.
That's the beauty, right? And the promise
mm-hmm.
that God is not done with us yet, and that he is the
right.
healer and the restorer, and that he will resurrect all that is dead. And I can attest to that in my testimonies where I felt like things have died in my life, and yet God turned it around and resurrected. So we serve a great
mm-hmm.
and mighty God. Don't limit God in what he can do. And he is a perfect, we serve a perfect God. And he is perfecting us every day. Amen. Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen. I think Mariah had something to share there.
It's just that there's so many different ways you can interpret that question, too, where it's like, if God heals something physically, that from my experience anyway, God doesn't do things halfway, where it's like, okay, like I got you going.
So you're talking about like a physical healing as opposed to a emotional healing.
Yes,
okay.
But I do stand on the statement that God doesn't do things halfway, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual kind of thing. And so at the same time, I also think, I was reminded of Ephesians 1. Sorry, this question is so heavy. It's hard to really compact on everything. But Ephesians 1:23, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. And so I think even though if physically our bodies are broken and are it's done. The body we can't take with us to heaven. But everything else that is filled with Christ, I think, is made perfect because Christ is perfect. Does that make sense? Am I on the right track here?
Yes. I think that we've talked a little bit about the concept of a now but not yet faith. And that is that we experience God's presence and promises now, and that there is still more to come, and there's still more to come. And
Amen.
So the question is, where is the healing? Is it the now? Well, some of it, yes, now. And some of it now complete, and some of it now incomplete, right? Okay. And that the rest is yet to come, to where we find that fullness and glory with Christ on the day of the resurrection, on the day that we meet Jesus face to face, you know, and that's that and yet to come. And so where does that happen? And a lot of times that has to do with what my cooperation level is with the Holy Spirit. Like,
yeah.
I'll be real, okay? Like, a lot of this has to do with my cooperation level. Am I going to submit?
Yeah.
Am I going
right?
to like let you do your work, or am I going to keep picking it up and saying this is
right.
mine to bear?
Right.
That it's the whole thing. So I hope we did a good job answering your question there. That was a big question, right? So I don't know. Did anybody else have anything else to add to that?
No,
we're all good? Okay.
Thanks for the question.
Thank you for the question. It was fun. So let's talk about some of the questions related to the Bible study this week. Do you have any family or friends who prayed for you to come to Christ before you knew Jesus? Anybody?
I mean, I was raised in the church.
You were raised in the church. I bet your mom and dad prayed for you, don't you think? Wink, wink, nod, nod. I'm going to guess you did.
Dang. I don't know. You tell me.
How about for you, Felicia? Did Do you know when you anyone who you was know, praying, who was praying for you?
Yeah, actually, so I have a good friend, Randy. We'll have to have Randy on the show sometime.
Hi, Randy.
He's a good guy. So I was in high school, and I was an unbeliever. I wasn't brought up in the church. I actually haven't shared my testimony, which is kind of funny and ironic. But I feel like if I did, it would be a whole hour of me talking, and that's just too much. Nobody needs that. But I had a friend. There's just a lot of Felicia out there, you know. But I had a friend, Randy, who was just the kindest, sweetest soul, friend of mine in high school. And I don't know why, but the Lord really laid me on his heart. And we were friends, but particularly when we would talk, he always made mention of the Lord and God's goodness and how much Jesus wanted me to know him and things of this nature. And even into college, I end up accepting Jesus as my Savior at 16, but I don't attend church until 19, and I'm in college. And even then, it was the craziest thing. God just laid a path where I always ran into Randy. Always. So, like, we end up going to the same college. A lot of my friends go out of state, but he's, and I swear, every semester, we were not in the same majors, but we would always have classes side by side. We never had a class together, but always side by side, so that we were waiting outside the classroom. We could talk, and he would tell me that he was still praying for me and that, you know, ask me how my spiritual walk was going. It was crazy, like a whole thing where it was really the hand of God allowing that friendship to be there really specifically for the purpose of him being that good, quiet example of a Christ-like character to me and just continuing to lift me up in prayer. So I'll say definitely Randy was. Like, I don't know who else, because like I said, I didn't come from a praying type of a family. It was a little bit of different upbringing for me. But yeah. So yeah, I did actually. So shout out to Randy. I'll tell him that we mentioned him today. So the next question is, did you grow up in a chosen environment? Did you go to church and hear the gospel often, and how did that affect you? And, of course, I'm just going to lead in by saying, based on what I just said, obviously, no, I did not. I didn't grow up in a national environment that was hostile to the gospel, but my home environment was pretty sterile of religious discussion in general. So I didn't grow up that way. So, and obviously Lisa said she didn't grow up that way. So I guess we're going to pitch it over to the kids that we know have kind of been brought up in that environment. How do you guys feel like that's affected you?
Okay. You don't want to go first? Oh, okay.
Raya can go first. There you go.
So I guess for me, it was really good. It was really, because of Mom and I's background, it was really the stable environment in our lives.
Church was a safe place.
It was a safe place. It was a place that was consistent, for sure, and that was extremely helpful in an environment where we were not consistent. Anyway, I think it really was a hard part. The hard part of it all was that I knew God because I listened. I did the right thing. And so academically, really developed my own relationship, and that was hard because I grew up in a pattern. And that's not to say that the church was bad. That was just, I focused more on academic than relationship.
Understood. So you were learning a lot, but it was a little bit harder for you to connect that relationship there. Cross, how about you? How do you feel like growing up in a church environment has affected you?
Well, I was really raised up, and, like, as soon as I could read, you handed me, like, one of the kiddie Bibles that only had, like, the important stories, like David and Goliath, etc. As soon as I could read, which is why in one of the co-ops that I took, I was the only one who could, like, read faster than everyone else because everyone else was like Saul and David.
Right, you knew all the folks, right?
I knew all
the players.
I knew all the things. And then when I turned, I don't know if it was 9 or 10, I kind of got, like, bored. Like, I wasn't really focusing on my relationship with God. I wasn't making it top priority. I was kind of, like, getting with the things that the other kids were doing who weren't godly either. And then I kind of, like, snapped right back when I went to kids camp because they just had a really powerful worship session, and that's where I prayed in tongues for the first time, and I asked God to lead me back on the right path. And they said something that really impacted me. They said, if this is your first time accepting God, then you can accept God. But if you've already accepted God but drifted away, then you can, as an example, she pulled out a lamp. She's like, you can re-plug in with God, and the lamp turned on.
Ah.
So that was really powerful for me.
Oh, I like that. That's a very good example. I like that. That's great. So it's given you an opportunity, I think, being raised in that Christian environment to be able to develop a relationship with God, know who he is, and then make choices and know when you're getting off the path that God was a good place for you to turn back in the safe place, that he's a good landing place. You have a relationship with God that allows you to say, God, I'm in trouble. I did the wrong thing. Help me out instead of I have to run.
And usually, like, I'm in middle school now, so it's a little harder to, like, be making friends. Some of my elementary school friends moved away or just drifted off the path that I was going down. Some of them, like, I would, some of the kids who seemed, like, cool in my grade, notice I put quotation marks around cool,
mm-hmm.
I prayed about them, and one in particular, I prayed about him, and I was like, God, is this really the kind of person you want me hanging out with? And I prayed about it. He said no, and I said, why? He said, just observe from an angle, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So I was trying to stay away from him, and I was, like, observing him, and he was just not doing the things that honored God. He was not honoring God in everything he does. So I was, like, glad I talked to you before I made that decision.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, like, the best counsel is God's counsel, right? To follow what he wants you to do. So let's talk about the next question here. And we've lost Pastor Lisa. We're hoping she's trying to get back on. So hopefully the tech issue will be soon resolved because this is also a great question for her.
I think Mariah had something to say.
Did you?
I thought it was really cool that, like, sometimes it's hard for us to make decisions when we're in the middle of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that God said, like, take a step back and
mm-hmm.
just watch. And when you did, you got a lot more clarity. And so I'm a little jealous. That's really cool.
That's wisdom right there, right?
Yeah.
You know, if we had all known that when we were 11, that'd be awesome.
Would
right?
it? It saves so much time.
Seriously. So the next question is really good for me, and hopefully Pastor Lisa will be able to join us again. She can help us with that.
I'll put it at the end and do the other one until she gets back on.
No, because I think the last one's really the ending question.
Okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
Did you grow up outside of this chosen environment, and how did that affect you? And for me, I kind of did. I grew up in America where it was okay to be a Christian. I wasn't in a place where people were, you know, being persecuted heavily for being a Christian. But
it was also okay to not be a Christian. Like, nobody would judge you.
Right. And I was certainly in my home environment and in my public school environment, in environments where it was strongly discouraged to really get
religious
broadly. So how did that affect me? Well, when I did become a Christian, I'm going to tell you I knew nothing. I didn't understand anything. I'd go to church. I'd listen to the sermons. I understood about half of it. There is really a thing called Christianese that we use in churches. And if you're not super familiar with the scripture, you don't know what justification, sanctification, and glorification, all these different words, like we don't know what they mean. the way it affected me wasn't necessarily negative, though. I really, as a young Christian, had to dive deep into understanding what I believed and understanding what it meant, because I didn't have that cultural Christianity to kind of lean into. I didn't have an environmental understanding of faith and Christian walk. So I really had to study and learn and get into the Bible, which I think it takes most people a long time to get serious about studying God's word. But I kind of had to, because I just didn't have any understanding. So it was really imperative for me to do that. And I think that was a positive of that. So last question, hopefully Pastor Lise will be able to hop back on. Can you think of an example of God protecting you even before you knew him, and what did he do?
I'm trying to think back on my life. Because I can think of the times when I remember he did, but it was like I asked him to.
Right.
So it's thinking of times I didn't ask him to, and he did it anyway, kind of thing. Because, like, I grew up in church. So thinking of a time before I knew him, I don't know.
She's like, how old was I? Like, 3?
Hey. Do I really want to go that far
you
back?
You saved
my
teddy
trauma?
Bear in the bookshop. Do you remember that?
No. Go ahead.
Yeah, one time you left your teddy bear in the bookshop, and the bookshop closed, and the teddy bear was your lovey.
And I still love him.
Yes, and he had to stay there overnight, and you were traumatized. You were so not happy. Yeah, it was bad, and I couldn't even call anybody to confirm that the bear was there. Like, it was, like, super closed by the time that we, like, figured it out. They had been closed for 2 hours. Yeah.
So I have really bad long-term memory, and so I'm trying to think back to the time before I accepted Christ.
So long ago.
Because I've been baptized twice.
Okay.
But because it was in the summer and I just wanted to get wet, and that was when I was 6.
Okay.
And the other time I actually gave my life to Christ, that was when I was 8.
Okay.
Because I've always been told I'm very mature for my age, but with the kids in my grade now, that's really not saying much.
Well, middle school is fine.
It's a very colorful grade.
It is.
So I have really bad long-term memory. So I'm trying to think back on a time where I didn't accept Christ and you did something for me. Is there, like, a clock ticking in that? I think I could hear a clock ticking.
I mean, okay, so I'll tell you what. I'm going to come up with this one, because I didn't live a very crazy life before I knew Jesus. You would have looked at me and said I pretty much had my life all together already. I wasn't doing a bunch of crazy things. I wasn't drugging. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't partying. I wasn't doing the things. So I don't have those examples of God, like, plucking me out of a car accident or anything like that. But I think that we all have an example of how God was protecting us before we ever knew him, and that was 2,000 years ago on the cross, when Jesus gave his life for us.
I think that was before I knew anything.
That's before we knew anything. Like, before I ever existed, before I even thought about doing something bad, God was laying the foundation to do the best good thing in my life he ever could do.
Mm-hmm.
So praise God for his glory and for his salvation. I'm so sorry that our guest didn't make it to the end of the show. There was just some technical difficulties. This happens from time to time. As a matter of fact, I had a panic attack when it said we had a drop call. I thought it was me.
Oh.
I was like, oh, no, because that's what happened to us last week. So,
yeah.
So praise God.
That's why you're looking
for...
all worried at the computer. You're like.
I was like, oh, no.
You could literally see the look of dread tear across her face. She's like, you're talking. I'm like, ah.
So anyway, who wants to pray us out real quick, and let's head out for the day? Oh, it's Mariah's turn.
Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this time that we got to have communion with each other and with you, and thank you for the awesome stories that were shared today. And for everyone who listened to Pastor Lisa's prayer about recommitting their life to Christ or accepting Christ into their lives, we just want to pray a seal over that promise that they've made, and that they are able to get connected with a church family and have that support, because y'all, you're going to get attacked now. Like, the battle's on. It's go time. So we just pray protection and peace over the next couple of days for everyone, and that, again, everything is just sealed tight so that they can share this with their friends, with their family, with people on the streets, and we just pray that a blessing over all of this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. And if you want to connect with Pastor Lisa, visit New Hope Las Vegas. That's her church.
You can come see me.
Yes. Mariah is there. She serves over there. And also you can catch up with the online broadcast if you're not in Las Vegas. You want to see what Pastor Lisa and her amazing team has to offer. Check out the New Hope Las Vegas app, and I know that you can get to the broadcast that way. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have a YouTube channel?
We do have a YouTube channel, New Hope Las Vegas. That's it.
New Hope Las Vegas. Okay.
Yep. Easy to find.
Easy to find. So hook up with that community. An amazing, amazing group of fellow believers, and we love them all. So anyway, you guys have a wonderful week. We look forward to seeing you next week, and be blessed.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.